Dr. Wendy Hill. I'm so glad you're here with me right now. We're on this life's journey together. The way I see it is you and I are a team, and together we can explore the wonderful possibilities for personal and spiritual growth. I believe each of us has within the power to heal and to manifest the best and highest that is already within us. If you would like to have more direct contact with me, go to my website, wendyhill.com, and call, text, or email me. Let's keep taking this journey together. Welcome to How to Be Happy with Dr. Wendy. And again, we have Felicia. Welcome, Felicia.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about how to break programming that was set for us in the process of moving into an experience where we experience love through the patient, compassionate, and loving presence of another person. And your experience of having had so many epiphanies and insights that have changed your life, how you've created a group of people, friends that you can text or call that have had similar experiences. So I'd like to ask you and talk about your thoughts on how does one bring back into everyday life with people inevitably that we encounter who have not had that experience, who are still in the, as we call it, the bitch and save, bitch about what's going on and then try to save each other and getting out of that loop. Tell us what you think. How can you bring that love back and support others with that who have not a clue about how to get where you've gotten?
Well, I'm really excited to talk about this topic because I think it's so important. And it's a tricky one also. I think when you're bringing this back into the world and you have people in your life who are still stuck in that loop.
And those people might be people that you love, might be family,
exactly.
Might be friends that you've had before you had your epiphanies.
Mm-hmm. I think the most important part of this is that for anyone coming to you for support, there has to be a willingness on their end.
But what if they just come to you and they want to bitch and save? And that they're not your client, so to speak. They're not coming to you for support in that way. They're just thinking
dump.
Like, just like, oh, I'm going to complain and then you save me.
I'm really happy that this one has come up because this has been a theme that I've been working on for a long time. And this one actually has to do more with boundaries than support. To me, I don't think that it's anyone's responsibility to take on what other people are wanting to just offload. And so I think in this situation, it's actually healthy to set a boundary. And if there's actually a willingness on the person's part who is complaining or just wanting to offload, if there's a willingness to actually want to heal,
what would you say to someone that thought you were a good friend, so they call you up and they started to unload and continue on? What would you say? What would be actual words you would say to them?
Oh, I think it would be this is a tough one, I will say. I think it would be a conversation. I think there's a direct and compassionate way to say it. And there has to be, it has to be okay with you to be met with resistance on their end. If you've formulated a relationship with somebody that has been based on this, I'm going to bitch and you're going to just take on all of that and hold it, and then vice versa and vice versa, there's a comfort in that. And so if you're going to break that way of doing things, the other person might not be very happy about it. So at that point, it's almost like you have to get comfortable with being met with their resistance, which might be very painful.
So you have to be willing to have people be disappointed that you're not the friend that they thought you were, exactly. So to speak.
And that's not an easy situation to be in. And I think that's why I've noticed myself being one of these people, as we start to do inner work and move forward in our lives in a way that is actually more respecting ourselves and learning self-compassion, there are certain people that drop out of our lives, not because it's right or wrong, bad or good, but because they're not in a place where there's a willingness to also want to do that.
I want to give you an example of a couple of recent podcasts in the last couple of months. Two women in two different podcasts had said that they had decided to take care of their parents in their older years until they passed away, who continued to verbally abuse them, and in the process lowered their own self-esteem. And at the same time saying, well, I'm really glad that I did that. I'm glad that I was there for my parent until their death, even though that parent continued to criticize and shame and demean that individual. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you were in that same situation?
Oh, yeah, that's a tough situation.
That's a tough one because, go ahead, what you're saying.
I think there's a really good word for that, and it's bind, because that's a bind. There's two different things happening where, one, there's an obligation to want to support these people.
Is it an obligation or is it a perceived obligation?
I like that word better. You're right, it is a perceived obligation. And it feels like there's probably a part in that person who believes that there's not a choice there. And not saying that that person doesn't have a choice, but that there's a part, that there may be some fixation in the part that believes that this is the only way and they need to be there for that person. And it sounds like because there was so much resistance in this situation, there was also another part of that person that was very angry or hurt possibly, and I don't want to speak for them, but I can imagine if that's the treatment that you're receiving, that sort of emotional abuse, there's going to be parts that are defended and probably underneath that feeling very hurt and vulnerable.
Well, it brings up the question of what is our allegiance to ourselves in our lives? What is the highest priority? Mm-hmm. Is it to place ourselves into a place where we are continuing to take responsibility for our self-love? Mm-hmm. Or are there times in which we give up that journey for what we perceive maybe as a higher good of taking care of a parent? Mm-hmm. What would you say is your highest priority in life? Is it honoring the self or honoring a perceived obligation?
So I'm going to take a step back.
I'm putting you on the spot here, I know. I'm challenging the listeners, too.
This is good. I think I want to take a step back from the situation. And rather than looking at what we would do in that circumstance, externally, because the story or the circumstance that's presenting is that there are these parents and there's the person, the caretaker, and then there's this, there's something happening there that's uncomfortable, right? And there's what's in integrity, what's the right way to go. So rather than looking at the story and the circumstance, if I were in that situation, I would get more curious about what's happening in my internal world, and I would acknowledge that there is a battle going on around what's in integrity and what parts of me are actually feeling hurt and not acknowledged. And following suit with being compassionate towards ourself on the process that I've used to unwind parts of us that are bound, I would be curious about what's happening internally that created this situation where there's a sense possibly of helplessness.
Well, basically, is there any situation in life in which it is of value to give up one's self-esteem, one's self-confidence, one's connection with higher power, one's connection with God? Is there any situation in life that would justify breaking that connection? I would think maybe, just so while you're thinking about this, the answer might be if you are faced with a situation where is that potential of breaking that spiritual connection with the highest self, that one goes into it prepared in some way to maintain that connection with one's true self, one's authentic self, one's spiritual self, one's connection with God, if they are going to choose to go into a situation where it would potentially compromise that connection, so that they might commit to daily meditation or release of emotion that would come up in the process of being in some way compromised through abuse or neglect or through shaming or criticism. What do you think?
I think that when our intention is to keep coming back to ourselves and to being in connection with our divinity and to really taking care of the parts of ourselves that have different needs that need to be met, whether they're met by ourselves or with safe support, there's going to be an internal unwinding that happens that is always going to be the best option. And in that going in, I think that naturally as our relationship changes with ourselves, as we get into more coherence with our higher self and more embodied, there's going to be an unwinding of our circumstances in life that surprise us. And I can't say exactly what would happen in that circumstance where there's that bind, but I do know that from my personal choice would be to keep coming back to myself and my parts and getting curious about what is happening at the core that has created the circumstance in my life that is happening. And from that place, there has to be a surrender and a trust that while it might get uncomfortable in the exterior circumstances, there's something greater that's happening that we can surrender into.
It has been said that our most influential environment is the people that are around us, the energies of people, the intentions of people. So if one commits to being in an environment with someone whose intention and energy is negative, that has a subconscious pull upon us, unless we are well entrenched in our own, as you call it, divinity. I like that word, that we can very easily be pulled away and pulled off of that truth that's so important for us to keep. You talked a little earlier about the word, using the word boundaries, and how important it must be sometimes to disappoint somebody if you're not willing to play their game, whatever negative game that might be. Would that not also hold true for a parent that you say no to?
I believe that it would also hold true for that. I think while it may be uncomfortable for both parties involved, it might also very well be the thing that's the catalyst for the people on the receiving end of
so
that boundary.
So sometimes really disappointing or hurting someone's feelings, and I'm doing a quote around hurting, may be the highest and best thing to do, even though it may be extremely painful to be instrumental in that hurt and disappointment of that other person.
Yeah, and it's even harder when it's family members because there are so many layers to that relationship. And it's tough, especially if we consider that a lot of the parts that we have that hold different beliefs, that may correlate to blocks that we have later in life were formulated or come into existence in response to unconscious treatment in the household, then when we're adults and we turn that back around and the tables have flipped, if there hasn't been an internal discovery process that's happened within that person, that's going to be a very challenging situation. And if anything, it might be so emotionally charged that it is the very thing that is the catalyst for that person to start looking inward. Because if they're feeling in a bind or helpless or feeling like they need to be in an integrity as a caregiver and they've made that commitment, but they're also feeling hurt and abused, I'd be curious if that's a feeling that they've had before in other circumstances in their life, whether it's in different relationships. And I would get curious about what that's actually reflecting in their own beliefs about themselves. And I feel like you could use that as a doorway into seeing what the root of your traumas are, and actually using that as a gift to be able to find what need isn't being met for you.
Mm-hmm. And you know, even if you set a boundary that disappoints someone that you really love, like a family member, or that you feel really committed to because of a blood connection, mm-hmm. Disappointing them while setting boundaries, saying, I'm willing to do this only if, within these boundaries, that person might say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. But it might open a conversation or a trauma between them enough that will break through to something positive. Mm-hmm. So sometimes sticking with a really uncomfortable experience can have that result too. That would be an entirely different conversation. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much, Felicia, for being here and for sharing your thoughts. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking this journey with me today. And until next time, know that you are loved beyond imagining.